Hi, and welcome to the first interview podcast with the Edgeville Buzz. I'm Carl Clockers. You may have heard some of the aldermanic interview podcasts I've hosted and produced for other sites like Center Square Journal, Roscoe View Journal, Chicagoist, and Austin Talks. And now we're sitting down with Alderman Harry Osterman of the 48th Ward for Edgeville Buzz. I talked to a few residents in the area to find out what their concerns were in the ward and asked some questions on behalf of Edgeville Buzz staff. And in this 20-minute conversation, we're going to talk about everything from crime and safety through what can be done with the CTA and the Uptown Theater. We sat down at the alderman's office last week to talk, and before we got into any real specific issues, I wanted to ask how the transition has been from Alderman Smith's office to his. Now, I've spoken with Alderman Poir about his transition, and the recent election that resulted in the victory for Alderman Kaperman was obviously hard-fought. But Alderman Osterman has a long history of Northside politics. How does he think the transition between the two offices, outgoing and incoming, has been handled?
Well, I think the people that are listening to this can't see this, but the office that's my alderman's office was my state rep's office. So the transition, I think, has been very, very smooth. I think that one of the most important things I did was put together a real top-notch staff and people that had experience in government or in specific fields like business and economic development. So I think the transition has been smooth would be the way I'd characterize it. For me, I had spent 11 years as a state representative. I knew very clearly kind of what the job entailed. So I think that I was focused on, and I spent most of this summer focused on kind of the nuts and bolts of the job, which is city services, safety, economic development, beginning to work on our schools to improve them. So I think we've really hit the ground running. I will tell you that it's been a challenge. My biggest challenge so far has been dealing with the city service end of things, where due to the shrinking workforce of the city, things like tree trimming and potholes has been kind of a frustration in getting those things done. But we've been staying focused on that. I think one of the things that was very important to me is to make sure that we're responsive so that when people call us, they get a response. They get an email if they email us. So I think that for the most part, I think it's been a smooth transition.
You touched on safety, and I want to talk about that in a second, but one of the main things that people are interested in, and something I actually didn't know about until I took a closer look at the 48th Ward, I assumed that most of the Broadway and Lawrence intersection was another ward, but you have as much skin in the game for Mayor Emanuel's proposed Uptown Entertainment District, and I believe the Aragon is in the 48th, and the Uptown is in the 48th as well, and I wanted to know what kind of plans you guys have been talking about for that, what kind of moves have been made, and kind of where we stand right now with that.
So our interview is taking place right after I had a first ever 48th Ward Arts Committee meeting, and the meeting was with artists and people that are in the arts community locally to expand the arts in the 48th Ward, which is a focus for me. Rahm Emanuel and I share the same goal, which is to renovate the Uptown Theater, but also beyond just the renovation of the Uptown Theater, create an entertainment district that would bring music and other types of arts to that community. Not only is it important just for the Uptown area, but it's also important for Edgewater and Andersonville, because people that are going to go to see a show at the Uptown Theater or another venue down there, the Riviera, the Aragon, or others that will be created in years to come, they're going to go to dinner on Argyle Street. They're going to go to dinner on Clark Street in Andersonville. They're going to go to dinner on Broadway. So I think it's something that we're going to focus on very intently in the months to come. There's been many conversations with myself and the city. The city's gone out and toured the Uptown Theater. So I think what's going on right now is that we're trying to come up with what's the plan and how we finance the plan. And kind of what the long-term benefits will be. But it's something I'm very excited about, and I think is something that has been talked about a great deal, but I think the reality is we have to do it now, or begin to do it now.
I don't think anybody who's ever seen a photo of the interior of the way that the Uptown Theater used to be would have any problem with the city devoting some resources to bringing it back to even, like, you know, a two-thirds of its former splendor, because it's just a marvelous piece of architecture. But do you have any specifics in terms of, because it's owned by a private company, I think Jam Productions owns it at this point, have you guys talked about specifically what kind of funding you would put into like rebuilding?
The reality is that it is privately owned by Jam Productions. Jam Productions is going to have to put a significant amount of their own money into the project. But they have looked to the city, the state, and the federal government to see what resources are available. And it's my goal, and I think the mayor's goal, is to, it's not just about the Uptown Theater. That's kind of a core anchor, and seeing that renovated is significant. It's how do we grow that? The other reality is, though, if we're able to do this, it's going to create jobs locally. It's going to help create other jobs in that area. And that's something that's going to boost the economics, not in just Uptown, but also as we look to grow the tax base in the city of Chicago. It's going to be a significant economic boost.
We're sitting here and we're talking on a day when I woke up this morning and I opened up the Red Eye, and they're talking about how the Wilson stop is voted one of the worst CTA stops in the city again. And certainly, you know, I think it deserves it. But, you know, other places on the Red Line aren't that much worse, to be honest. And I know there's been talk about developing or redevoting resources to rebuilding the Red Line, reducing some of the slow spots. And I know a lot of people, I mean, how you get to work every day is one of the major ways that you interact with the city. So the CTA has a major part in people's lives. What have you talked about in terms of rebuilding some of the transit in the area?
I would say that there, Wilson may be very bad, but there are a lot of close seconds. My goal has always been to really revitalize the Red Line. I think that the Red Line has been overlooked for many, many years. And as a state rep, I pushed the CTA to begin a process to engage the community in how we will renovate the Red Line. And I think that the reality is now that we have to focus on where do we get the money. What's becoming more and more clear to me every day as I watch what's going on in Washington is that the reality that the CTA is going to get a significant windfall of money to dramatically change the Red Line as it exists today is, I think, not really realistic. I think the reality of what's probably going to happen is that we're going to work to try to get funding from the state, the federal government, other areas to reduce the slow zones, but then also kind of work station by station to renovate the stations. The Brown Line was all done in kind of one fell swoop. We're going to talk to the CTA about how we renovate each station in the 48th Ward. All of them from Argyle to Granville need work, and they need to be handicapped accessible. They need to be clean and safe. Businesses won't go in there right now, good viable businesses that people that get on the CTA, because the infrastructure is decrepit. So we're going to be having discussions with the CTA. I'm going to be touring the stations myself with them to look at all the retail spaces. But I hope that we have a plan in place in the next month or so to really talk about how we're going to focus and begin to do the work.
We touched on safety a few minutes ago, and obviously crime is at the forefront of most people's minds when they think of the word safety in the city. And specifically, when I talked to some people that lived in the ward, they brought up Thorndale in specific. Can you tell me a little bit about what you guys have done in terms of identifying problem areas like Thorndale and other areas in the ward, and what you guys are doing in terms of response to that?
So we have, you know, when I came into office, I kind of identified a number of kind of key areas that have had ongoing significant gang and drug activity. South end of our ward by Lawrence and Sheridan had some significant problems. There's a lot of really active people down there that do public loitering on an ongoing basis. Ed Kusky and Joe Trendle and PC Good and Smiley and a whole host of people parked themselves on the corner. Earlier this summer, the Chicago Police Department did a sting that rounded up 28 gang members for selling narcotics within 1,000 feet of a school. 11 of those people that were caught have already pled guilty. It significantly helped reduce the crime in that area, but it's one that we have to be vigilant on. We've had some problems on the western half of the ward with some gang activity, and I think we're going to try to focus on that around Bryn Mawr and Clark Street, some of the gangs. And then Thorndale and the Thorndale area has been a significant problem, has been for a long time. This summer, Loyola University, at my urging, gave us a grant for $25,000, which we've hired an off-duty security company to, in addition to the foot patrol of the police, have an off-duty foot patrolman on there. So we've got a kind of a tag team. There's a new commander in the 24th District, Jim Russolo, who started 2 weeks ago. And him and myself and the community around Thorndale are going to begin to, in a very strategic way, look at the problem buildings and really target who the gangbangers are and begin to go to court on everything that they're arrested for, whether it's selling narcotics, whether it's public loitering, whatever it might be. We want to put a continued focus on there. Things have gotten a little bit better, but it's something that we've got a lot of work yet to do, and it's one that we're going to engage the community on, but that's a critical thing and something that I am very, very focused on every day.
I'm interested in hearing you talk a little more about getting a grant to hire essentially a beat cop, because I remember a few years ago there was an alderman that did something very similar on the south side, which he was basically hiring private security to reinforce the police presence in his ward. And the question from people that read those stories were, isn't that something that the city should be doing anyways? And, you know, it's a similar question here in terms of redistricting, in terms of making sure we have enough cops on the streets. Is that something that the city should be taking care of initially anyways?
I look at the issue of kind of dealing with crime as an issue that's done on a multiple level. And there's a lot of hands that make a neighborhood safe. It's neighbors that call 911 or 311. It's business owners that are making sure their businesses are safe. It's the police. It's community organizations. It's schools. It's parents. It's everybody working together. The police can't do it all. And anyone that thinks that they can, they don't understand the reality of things. Even when the police were fully staffed some years ago, there are not enough police out there. So what I want to try to do is to bring everyone together to try to solve these issues. Loyola is a major institution in our community. They've got as vested an interest in anyone in trying to make sure it's safe. And they were very helpful in providing this grant. So I really look at the grant that they helped us provide to use, and it's going to run out at the end of October, to really make a significant impact in making Thorndale safer for everybody. But it's not just going to be done with the police. It's going to be done with everybody. So I think that we're going to be working locally with the residents around there to really target the buildings and the other quality of life issues that they see to really make a significant impact. Thorndale didn't get as bad as it was overnight. It's not going to get better overnight, but collectively, we're going to change the dynamics on the street. Part of that also that I'm working on is try to bring new businesses on the street, which I think if we increase foot traffic, it's going to help the neighborhood. You look at Bryn Mawr and Granville, while they do have some problems, I think they've improved because of the economic development. Businesses have opened it, like in Granville on Metropolis and M. Henry and Bananas Foster, where there's a lot of neighborhood foot traffic of neighbors that are out there, and some of the people that have been loitering or selling drugs or prostitution, that they don't want to be seen by a lot of neighborhood people. So part of the redevelopment of Thorndale and making it safer is to bring businesses in there, and that's something I'm focused on as well.
We've been talking for a good 14 minutes at this point about all the things that I've been curious about, but I know people are also interested in knowing what you consider a priority, what you want to do in the ward, you know, for the 48th, and then for the city as a whole and the city council. You know, tick off two or three things that you want to accomplish or at least move the ball forward in both.
Well, I think that, you know, I've talked about safety because, me, that's the cornerstone in our community. If people don't feel safe, they're not going to stay in our community. I think what I really want to see long term is I want to increase the economic development. So one of the things that we've been doing is we have someone on my staff who is out working to bring businesses into our community. We spend a day a week bringing people that want to open businesses in, and we give them tours to showcase what we have. Coming up on August 31st, we're going to do a business night where we're going to kind of showcase some of the economic tools that the city has to help promote business. So I really want to create jobs in our community and try to bring more businesses here. I think that the character of our neighborhood is that we want to promote small businesses, locally owned businesses. So we're really going to try to do that and bring new business into our community so that people spend their money locally. improving our schools is another thing that I really am going to focus on, because I want to make sure that our schools are the best. Young families that move here and have kids, if the schools in our neighborhood aren't where they need to be when the kids begin to get 2 or 3 years, 4 years, and they're ready to go to school, they're going to leave our neighborhood. So I want to make sure that Pierce and Swift and ultimately Senn High School, that these schools are schools that people feel comfortable in sending their kids, and the kids are getting a great education. I also want to make sure we have programs for the youth when they're out of school. So expanding after-school recreation programs at the Armory, at the Boys and Girls Club, somewhere centrally located in the ward, I think is something that we want to do as well. So those are some of the cornerstones of what I want to focus on. But I think the reality is I want to make our neighborhood a livable community where people can live, go to school, do business, and just enjoy life here. I think we have a great neighborhood with a lot of active people. And one of the things that I'm going to try to focus on coming this fall into the next year is we're going to try to develop a ward-wide master plan that has been done in other wards, where we're going to really engage people on what do they want to see for our community in the years to come. And that's going to be a multi-month plan that's going to focus on all these kind of key areas, including housing, economic development, transportation, safety, education, the arts, so that we're kind of focused on all of these things and we kind of come up with something that we can galvanize people and bring people together around.
There's a few places, there's a few sites around the ward that people are curious about in terms of development, in terms of where people are at, and just in terms, you know, of putting bodies in these places that have been there forever, or you know, rehabbing them or turning them into different things. So just real quick, curious about where things are in terms of your radar on like the Aon Center.
So the Aon Center was bought by a developer, and we've talked to him many times to try to get some ideas on what we can do to bring businesses in there. There's a parking lot that's being used right now, which is kind of one of the cornerstones, but I really want to see that building developed. There was 1,600 jobs there at one time. 1,600 people that were getting lunch on Argyle Street or Broadway, were dropping their dry cleaning off, were spending money in our community. 1,600 jobs that could be for local people that are out of work right now. So we're going to work with the developer to try to get more businesses in there. The reality is he hasn't kind of crystallized what he wants to do there yet. And that's an area that James Kappelman and I, the building's actually west side of Broadway is in his ward, east is in my ward, that we're going to work together with him on. So one of the things that I want to do is partner with my local Alderman O'Connor, Moore, and Kappelman. But what are the other sites?
The Edgewater Medical District came up. Is that ever going to be a park?
That's in Alderman O'Connor's ward, and I think that the reality is there's a lot of momentum to build a park. The economics of how do we have that be solely a park, I think, is one that's challenging. I think just to tear the building down is going to be close to $10 million. I think doing something that could be a mixed use that would have either housing or commercial along with a park, I think would be something that would be more realistic. I think there's another location, the Firehouse on Ridge Avenue, is one that's an underdeveloped site that it's my goal, hopefully, to turn into an arts and recreation center in years to come. We're also going to work to see about getting a light on Ridge Avenue so people can walk across the street without taking their lives into their own hands.
And then finally, the Pizer Funeral Home site came up.
So the Pizer Funeral Home site is one that's key for development, and I'm going to have a conversation with some of the neighbors that live directly west of there. A lot of the proposals in the past have called for loading and unloading in the alley. So myself and the neighbors are going to have a conversation about what they think is viable. It's a key location in our ward and one that I want to have some quality economic development. So I think Pizer, along with some other sites along Broadway, provide a lot of opportunity. I think one of my goals as Alderman is to really try to bring more business and economic development to Broadway, whether it's restaurants, whether it's small businesses, IT companies, green technology companies. We want to use Broadway as more of a main street, as a corridor for business than it has been in the past. In the past, it's been heavily automotive use. There are many, many places to get your car fixed. I think we want to get less of that and more people walking on Broadway, making it much more pedestrian friendly. And that's something that we're going to work with the city on to make it more of a pedestrian destination.
Final question, and since you have a lot of history in the area, I'm sure you'll know what I'm talking about. People were very curious about, is Nookie's on Bryn Mawr any closer to opening its doors?
So Nookie's Nookie's, Nookie's has been opening for a long, long time. Yeah. Pete's Pizzeria opened before Nookie's, and they started a lot later. I am hopeful that Nookie's is going to open before my daughter, who's three, is in high school. The reality, though, is I've been inside Nookie's, and I think that once Nookie's opens, it's going to be a great business for Bryn Mawr. It's going to bring a lot of foot traffic on Bryn Mawr. It's going to be an outstanding restaurant and help Bryn Mawr. So it is going to open in the future. I'm not going to say a date because
you don't want to put a shiny nickel on an open date.
No, I think, but Nookie's is going to help bring business to Bryn Mawr, and that's something I want to do as well as making Bryn Mawr a safer street. But when it is open, we'll get the buzz to have a preview so that we can have a big grand opening party there.
That's Harry Osterman, alderman of the 48th Ward, covering Uptown, Edgewater, and Andersonville. For more information on the alderman and his ward office, you can visit 48thward.org. That's 48thward.org. And for more about everything else going on in the 48th, we are, of course, at edgevillebuzz.com. I'm Carl Clockers. Thanks for listening.